So welcome to a Channel 9 video where I'm going to talk about Azure Functions and basically what serverless architectures are. My name is Eric Renault. I'm a Microsoft MVP. I'm based out of Canada in Montreal. And what I like to do is talk about architecture. But before we talk about architecture, for example, serverless architectures, like the topic of this show, I always like to do a little theory. And this is only a 5-minute show, so we're going to keep it very, very lightweight. Let's start. So first of all, what is architecture? So to me, architecture is about making the choices that are very hard to change further on in the project, basically. For example, I'll give you an example. If you choose on Oracle and then you want to go to Microsoft SQL, that's not an easy change to do. So that's probably an architecture decision that you have to do in your project. The other thing I like about architecture when I define it is that it lays down the foundation, so all the building blocks should be defined at an architecture level. And then it identifies the compartments so that we kind of know where everything will go. So that way when you're designing your system, you're coding, you're not asking, okay, well, where should I do with this? Because, or where should I put that? Because all these things are already, should be defined up front in your architecture. I'm not saying that, I use the word up front. I know that a lot of people are agile out there. Doesn't mean that things don't change. It just means that we have to have a good idea of where we're going. So first of all, let's start with an architecture pattern I love. And see, I even got a little star here because it's really one of my favorites. It's called the CQRS, or Command and Query Responsibility Segregation pattern. Basically, all it says is that you have to separate your system into two things. Commands that alter state. So basically, you send a command to the system, it processes it and changes the data. And then you have another part of your system, which is called the queries. And you use the queries to retrieve information out of your system. Now, the fun part, or the bad part about this architecture style, is that it doesn't specify implementation at all, which is kind of a problem. So let's go back to where we're actually talking about in this show. It's called serverless architecture. And this is really the new kid in town. This is the one that I think is getting a lot of traction because we finally have the tools to make it easy to do. Now, when you're doing serverless architecture, what I want you guys to think about is that it's not that there are no servers. It's just that from an architecture point of view, servers are less important. We're not thinking about, oh, I have to put these few things together so that we can actually bundle them and then deploy them on this server, and then I'm going to group these things together and put them onto that server. When you're doing serverless architecture, what you're actually saying is that it doesn't really matter where all these things will end up because the platform itself will scale up and distribute it and install the right things at the right place. So that kind of has me going into a place where I need like small services because these are the units that are going to be distributed and not packages or bundles or containers or stuff like that which hold big programs that have to be installed on servers to scale up. Now what I like about this is that it's a really good implementation pattern for the previous pattern I was talking to you about, which is the CQRS, because as I said, in CQRS, you have commands, and commands are basically small units of something, or probably code, that alter state of or alter your data in your database. And what's fun about it is that since microservices, or what you develop using service architectures, they're very small, they map very, very well to those commands in that pattern, which is, I think, it's a great thing. So let's talk about who are the players when you're talking about serverless architectures. So I'm going to just kind of name four of them. There's Azure Functions, which is the relatively new. I think it's not 5 years old yet. It's got a lot of traction. It's really fun, and it's based on Azure basically. You've got Google Cloud Functions. You've got Amazon Lambda, which is really cool. And one I've actually played with too is called Auth0 WebTask.io, which is not built by the big companies, as in Microsoft, Google, Amazon, whatever. But it's a really nice take on this concept of serverless architecture. So let's jump in. This is we have a few minutes, so let's just jump into it and go look at what it looks like in the code. So let me just get into the Azure portal. It's already loaded up, and as you can see. So what we're just going to do, I'm going to go the lazy way. I'm going to go I want to add a new service. In the marketplace, I'm just going to type functions. It surfaces a function app functionality, which is what I'm looking for. Then we just click on it. We're going to create a new thing. So I think it's important for us to just go through the creation step because you'll see how easy it is. And there's a few things that we have to choose. The first thing, there's something called the resource group. So I'm just going to go ahead and use an existing resource group oops, that I already have. I'm going to take the function test one. Something you'll notice which is different about Azure Functions is that the hosting plan is selectable, and we have two options, dynamic and app service plan. So dynamic means that we live in an environment where we calculate how much, in order for Microsoft to bill you for the service, they calculate how much usage you're using, basically memory times how many request triggers were done in a certain amount of time, and that's how you get billed. That's how you get billed. Then you can also choose to go the app service plan way, which basically adds the Azure function to an existing service plan you have, and then you'll basically get billed for that service plan because the function app will be installed in that unit. So instead of using these things, I'm just going to go ahead and choose a dynamic plan for these examples. As you can see, I could choose where I want to be hosted, the memory allocation. I'll just choose 128 megabytes of memory. That should be perfect for my little demo. And I'm going to hit create. Oh, of course, we need a name. So let's go for Channel 9 Functions. Create. Perfect. So now it's submitting for deployment. It should take a few seconds. It's pretty quick. And what you'll notice is it'll pin it right away to my, oh, it didn't. So let me just find it. So as you can see, I've got my Channel 9 Functions function app, which is pinned onto my dashboard. I'll just click that, which will bring me directly into the system. Let's give it a few seconds. As you can see, it's really a clean environment, and there's one big button called a new function. That's usually the unit I want to do. So let me click on that. And the fun part is it gives me templates. So I don't start off with an empty slate here. I have something to build on. So I'm going to show you two examples. I'm a C# guy personally, so I'm going to build a trigger. I'm going to build a function which is based out of C# code. And right after that, I'll build the same thing with Node.js based or JavaScript. So let's go here and let's choose HTTP trigger C#. So you'll notice that there's other things here like blob trigger or event hub trigger. Basically, functions get invoked after some sort of trigger happens. And those triggers are basically, if a new blob was added to blob storage, my function executes. If something else was added to Event Hub, I can fire my function. You've got webhooks in there. You've got manual trigger, which basically means somebody's got to go into the Azure portal and click on a button to run it. Or you've got the HTTP trigger, which basically exposes a web service, which you can hit with a web browser. And that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to call this, let's say, test numero one, and we're going to say that we're going to just choose here anonymous authorization. I don't want to go into security in this 5-minute talk. So let's try this. So I'm going to hit create. So what you see here is a C# code in the web in my web browser. As you can see here, it's called a CSX. CSX is basically means that it's a snippet of code for C#. The same syntax works. I've got the URL here, so this is a URL I can use to trigger my function. And I've got some code. It starts off with basically a task, which is asynchronous, so I can do all those fancy things in there. As you can see in here, I have access to some sort of console, so I can log activity. I'm going to use a little straightforward C# here to extract something from the request message that got sent to my message. Then I'm going to treat it as a dynamic and try to read the content, try to extract something called the name, if it's there. And then I'm going to create a response. If name is null, I'm going to return the message here, please pass a name onto the query string or the request body. Or if I do have a name, I'm going to say, hey, how's it going there? It's our little hello world. So let's just run it. I'll click on run. As you can see, I have a little console at the bottom, so I can really debug this interactively. It's very nice, very lightweight. But what's really fun is I'm going to take this URL. I'm going to bring it into another tab, type it in there. And as you can see, it's live already. It's like instantaneous, and my service is up and running. So please pass a name on the query string or in the request body. I can see that if I go back to the function app in Azure, I can see that the logging worked. So let's just go ahead and pass something in there. For example, I'm going to pass name is equal to Eric. Enter. So now it worked because the function received something else for its input, so now it's doing the right processing. And if I go back into the function in the function app, I can see that right here, you can see that it received a call and that it completed correctly. So this is a very, very light way to add something in the cloud that runs in the cloud, very easy to invoke, very easy to debug and to develop. Obviously, I wouldn't write a 10,000 line program in this, but if you have little things, for example, take a query, take a command, store it somewhere, or receive some sort of JSON payload, take it, store it in Azure Queue, this is the right thing to do. Or you could, or another thing you could do maybe here is when you somebody inserts something into blob storage, well, maybe you want to say, hey, every time some things go into blob storage, I want to run the antivirus on it. So this would be a good way because it's a trigger based on blob storage. It's a great function. So let's do the same thing in JavaScript. So I'm just going to go back here into the interface, new function. I'm going to click here, HTTP trigger for Node.js. Let's call this test numero. Oops, can't type today. 2. Again, I'm just going to choose anonymous. I don't want to battle security in this demo. And then it goes ahead. Now, since now the engine is not C#, I've got an index.js, so it's really JavaScript I'm writing. And I'm going to write it in the style of a Node.js application. So basically, I have to create a module, which exports a function, which takes a the context and the request. We're going to log something here into the console, and then we're going to look inside the message request. We're going to look either in the query string or in the body. And if we find something called the name, we're going to return as an answer to our message, hello world, or hello whoever is calling the message. Or we're going to call, we're just going to return an error message here. We could see it's a status 400. Please pass a name to in the query string or the request body. So let's go ahead, try to run that again. I'm going to take my URL. Put it in here. Seems to run. I'm seeming to be getting something. Let's try something. Name. Let's make an Eric here. See what's going to happen. So my name is Eric. Oh, they didn't detect it in the query string. So I'm just going to change the name to the parameter to something that it's actually expecting. Hello, Eric. So basically, once again, I can see the console. I can see the iterations. The fun part about this is, I can integrate this. I could choose how it gets it's very rich. And there's a lot of little options that you can do. You can manage it. You can monitor the execution of this, how long it takes. And this is how you actually get built. So it's important you understand how things get built. So the entire monitoring experience is there. You can see very much every invocation of this, what it returned. So it's very, very powerful. Let's just go back here to the PowerPoint. So that was a quick demo of what Azure Functions is. In conclusion, it's relatively new a concept. I think we need this kind of technology, or we need this to support all the new architectures that are coming out, because we want lightweight architectures where we can deploy little things, where we can upgrade little things at a time. So I really think this is a really new thing to look forward to in the future. It's simple. It's extensible. I'll just give you an example of extensibility. You invent a big system, but you want your client to provide some sort of function, for example, a pricing function that says, hey, when our system requires a price to this, we're just going to call your function with a bunch of input parameters, and you can tell us a price. So it basically, it's got a nice extensible mechanism between two organizations where just by hosting an Azure function, it's lightweight, no deployments, not a lot of commitments. So I'm really into these new kind of technology, and especially with the platform that goes behind because of all everything it offers me. So thank you for watching Channel 9, and I hope to bring you another show soon. Have a nice day.